She didn't speak of her past? I ask.
She could not, dear lady, for she was a mute. She had a remarkable talent for drawing and transcendental writing.
The doctor takes a bit of snuff from an enamelled box and sneezes into a handkerchief. What is transcendental writing? Anne asks.
The medium goes into a trance, and whilst communing with the spirits, she receives messages from beyond which are communicated through writing. We turned a tidy profit.
He coughs.
That is, we aided those poor grieving souls desperate to speak with loved ones who had passed on to the spirit realm. Then one day she came to the theatre quite merry. When I asked her why she was so happy, she wrote upon the slate, for that was how we spoke to one another, that her dear sister had visited her, and they had a plan to restore what has been too long lost. I did not know what she meant, nor did she explain. I was rather astonished at the mention of a sister, as I knew of no family she had. It seems the lady in question was a cherished friend from her schooldays. When I asked if I might meet her sister, she was evasive, callous. That would not be possible, she wrote, smiling. She was one for small cruelties, and I was quite certain she felt her dear friend to be far above my station. Soon after, she changed. One day, I found her in the shop among our many tricks and properties, holding fast to her slate. My sister has deceived us, she wrote. She is a monster. Such a wicked, wicked plan. When I asked her what could have caused her such distress, she wrote that she had had a vision, a most terrible vision of what should come to pass, for what I took as fair is foul, and all shall be lost.
Did she tell you what she saw in the vision? I press.
I'm afraid not.
The doctor's brow furrows.
I should say that she had an unfortunate habit, a fondness for cocaine. She could not be without it. I believe it began to destroy her, body and soul.
I think of my father, and my stomach tightens at the memory of finding him in the opium den. But cocaine is perfectly harmless, Anne says. It is in many tonics and lozenges. Dr. Van Ripple's smile is strained.
So they say, but I think otherwise, my dear, for I saw how it ruined the girl, so that she no longer knew what was truth and what illusion. She was suspicious in the extreme, seeing haunts in the shadows. She insisted that she was the only one who might stop this terrible plan, and she wrote long into the night on a secret tome which she said was of the utmost importance. Once I surprised her as she worked past midnight in the studio. The candle burned nearly to the last of its wick. She startled and covered the pages quickly. She would not show it to me. I suspected her of divulging the secrets of my magic. I dismissed her, and that was all I saw of her for many months until one spring day 3 years ago. Just after I dined, she knocked upon my door. I scarcely recognised her, so shocking was her appearance. Her eyes were those of the doomed. She had not slept or taken food in some time, and her behaviour was most odd. She asked for paper and pen, and I provided them. I am wicked, she wrote. Naturally, I thought her unsettled in mind and implored her to stay, but she insisted that dark forces were at work. They will keep me from revealing the truth, she wrote. I must act quickly before I am found.
What forces did she speak of? Anne presses. The doctor stretches his long fingers over the top of his walking stick, preening like a rooster.
It seems we shall never know. The lady left my home and vanished.
What became of the pages she wrote? I ask. He takes a deep breath.
I cannot say. Perhaps that terrible secret she feared died along with her. Or perhaps, even now, some diabolical plan is at work, and we are at its mercy.
The doctor smiles like a kind uncle. He offers his card.
For your mother. She might have need of a magician to entertain her guests some evening.
I take the card. He closes his hands over mine.
Open them.